Scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52. It's on page 56 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. And I just want to make a comment on verse 39, where it starts off and it says, when they, and that's referring to Jesus' parents. I'll wait a moment as you are looking for your scripture. All right. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. May God bless the reading of his scripture to our hearts.
Be to God. Thank you, Paul, for bringing to us the word of God this morning. Our world today is in dire need of some great wisdom. Indeed, it's been one of those weeks where it may be more often than we usually. We want to tune into Trump TV, and by Trump TV, what I mean is CNN, and to catch the world events and the world news. It's been one of those weeks where there's been a lot to think about and see and to pray about, a lot on our hearts and minds with world events around the world, and of course we see certain things very much take center stage, whether it's Iran, of course, but other things, of course, get shuffled to the side, like Puerto Rico and earthquakes and things like this. But certainly there's a lot that we can be focused in there. And really what we really need in our day is somebody to stand up with some great wisdom. Such great wisdom and such great teaching that all the leaders of the world will say, yes, that's it. That's the way we should all be living. That's the way we should all be following in that way. What we need in our world today is some great wisdom, but of course some great leadership, some great teaching. We need somebody to stand up with such great teaching that, for example, the leaders in Iran, including the leaders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, would say, yes, that person has the way we should all be following. That's the way we should be running our nation. It needs to be somebody with such great wisdom and such great teaching that the leader of North Korea would say, yes, that's it. That's the way I should be governing my people. That's the way we should all be living. And we need to listen to this great teacher. We need such great wisdom and such a great teacher that the leaders of Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab, I think is the name of the other one in Africa, which these groups have taken the lives of hundreds of Christians, by the way, in the last year. And you don't often hear about that in the news. But we need somebody to stand up with that kind of teaching that they too will say, yes, that's it. That's the way we should be living rather than what we've been doing. And so that they change and say, yes, we should all worldwide be listening to this teaching, this teacher. We need such great wisdom, a leader of such great wisdom that the President of the United States would hear that teaching and say, yes, that is the way we all ought to be living and we all ought to be listening. And indeed, we can think of our own Prime Minister, that he too would agree. And we can think, of course, of ourselves and our own families, and yes, this indeed is the way that we should be living. It seems that the world is upside down sometimes, and we have a lot of shake our head kind of moments. That's one of our boys' favorite expressions is anything silly that happens, he just says, shake my head. I'm watching the news these days. There's a lot of moments where world leaders make decisions, and it's like, shake my head. You see the kinds of things happening in our world, shake my head. And then you see the kind of things even sometimes we ourselves do. I'm in the midst of renovations, by the way, and anytime I do renovations, there's a lot of times where it's just shake my head. What am I doing here? Shake our heads. What we need is some great wisdom in our day. We need somebody to stand up with this great teaching and wisdom. Who's it going to be? Well, certainly it's not going to be me. But in the midst of saying that, let's consider some of what we read in the New Testament. Things like, and coming to his hometown, that is Jesus, Jesus taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this great wisdom and these mighty works? Mark 11, the chief priests and the scribes heard, that is the teaching of Jesus, and they were seeking a way to destroy them, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. John 7, the officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees who said to them, why did you not bring him? They were sent out to arrest Jesus and they came back empty-handed. They didn't arrest him. And here's what they say, no one has ever spoken like this man. Matthew 7, now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And John 7, about the middle of the festival, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews were astonished at it, saying, how does this man have such learning when he has never been taught? Then Jesus answered them, well, you're wondering where I get this great teaching from. My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, my teaching isn't mine. It's from the Father. Do we really need somebody to stand up in our time and with such great wisdom and teaching that all the world leaders and all the people will start listening? We don't need that person. We already have that person. His name is Jesus. We need people to start listening to Jesus. In our scripture focus this morning, it's really a scripture passage that maybe we don't treat too often. It's actually the only passage in the Bible that speaks about Jesus as a child, as a 12-year-old actually, and in that day and in that place that was on the cusp of becoming an adult and of being responsible for what you're learning and what you're, how you're growing. At age 13, you were considered to be moving into adulthood and starting to make adult decisions. Of course, now it's well, when I was growing up, it was more around 18, 19. Now it's now at like 25 or so before people are considered moving from adolescence into adulthood. It keeps going up. But back in Jesus' day, it was much younger, and even younger for the ladies, by the way, because they're always smarter, quicker, aren't they? Right? But here we have a passage about Jesus as just a young boy. And it's amazing to think that as we look forward to thinking of his adulthood and his teaching ministry and what profound and astonishing wisdom that he brought at that time, and which continues to astound, of course, and is astonishing even in our day and the change it could make in our world if people would only listen to him. As we think of his teaching, this is a passage that Paul read to us today that speaks about his learning. That before Jesus ever taught, he learned. And that's an important thing for us to think about this morning and can cause us to reflect upon our own learning that we might want to teach people like the leaders of North Korea or Iran or whatever and say, hey, come listen to this. But before we ever teach, of course, we need to be a people who learn too. Lots of my friends on Facebook were putting up tributes to their favorite drummer and mine too. next to Keith Moon, of course, from The Who. My next favorite drummer would be Neil. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, whether it's Peart or Peart, but Neil, the drummer for Rush. And if you've ever heard the band Rush, amazing rhythm section, amazing drumming, fantastic. And Rolling Stone magazine did an article on him back in 2012. And at that time, they recognized that he had gone back to the drawing boards, as it were. He's already recognized as this fantastic drummer, and yet he went as a student to those he considered that he could learn from. And he took these classes, and he talked about how he basically rebuilt his entire drumming from scratch so that he could be a better drummer. And Neil Peart was one that would be known amongst the drumming world and musician world as referred to as the professor. If you want to learn how to drum, look to Neil and his drumming. And yet, there was he himself taking lessons. And so he's told Rolling Stone magazine, and to quote him, he says, "What is a master but a master student?" And that's absolutely profound. I bring this up today partly because he passed away this past week at the age of 67. And so that's a very sad moment for many of us who are musicians who really appreciate his drumming. But what a quote. What is a master but a master student? Boy, that would be good for us as we attempt to master the Christian life, to remember what is a master but a master student. And here we have in our passage today in Luke that Jesus himself, the master, he himself was also the master student. Here he is learning. And so there's a couple things to notice in Jesus as the master student in his boyhood. So let's just take a moment to look at those. And first off, Jesus was in the right place. He went to the right people to further his growth and learning at that time. He's in the right place. And really this has to do with his sense of calling. This goes back to that passage where, of course, Mary is like, "Where have you been?" And he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now, it's interesting, the very first, before that, Mary's like, "Your father and I have been looking for you." And Jesus is like, "Hold up, I have been in my Father's house." In other words, Joseph's not really my father. The Heavenly Father is my father. What we see here in Jesus is a sense of calling, of understanding his calling, that he's not just called to be, at that time, of course, any boy of his age in that circumstance that he was in. Their calling would be to be a good Jewish boy, sure. But Jesus has a self-understanding that goes well beyond that to, this is my Father's house. This is where I should be. There's a sense of, I'm at home. In my Father's house. There's a sense of calling here. That he's not just to be a good teacher someday, but in fact, he has a self-understanding that's, we wonder at what age it hit, we wonder at what point he came to understand it, but certainly at this point, he's saying, here I am. There's something that is about me that is very different from the rest of the kids at school. And I'm in my Father's house here in the temple. This is where I must be. And there's a sense of calling there. And it's not the idea of he should be at the temple day and night for the rest of his life. It's the idea of this is where I'm home. This is the relationship in which I'm home. God the Father, I'm God the Son. There's a sense of relationship there and a sense, therefore, of calling of all that he's to do in the future as God the Son, all he's to do in the future is the Son of God, that only the Son of God could do. He had a calling to do what none of us, anybody else ever in human history, has ever been called to do, and that, of course, was to give his life as the Lamb of God on the cross for the forgiveness and reconciliation of sin. Nobody in history of the world has ever had that calling except one person, and that is Jesus Christ. He was called to that. And here we have at least the beginning of that self-understanding. This is my Father's house. I take my marching orders from him. My calling is to be his son. My calling is to do what only his son could do. Do we have a sense of our calling from God? As we consider that as part of Jesus' journey of growth and learning, of growing into that calling, and we're not given the details of when, how exactly that developed, but we know that it did develop, and we have signs here that he had a sense of that calling in the temple at that point. But what about we ourselves? What about our calling? And there's quite a number of things we could say about that. We could focus on the calling that is unique to us as individuals. For example, I might be called to do something a bit different than you. I might be called to do renovations at home and fix up the house a bit. You might not be called to do that, and I might not be called to do that either, but I might do it anyway. But anyway, there's that. But what are our gifts? What are our passions? What has the Lord laid upon our hearts to do? And what has he enabled us to do? What has he called us to do that we don't even think we can do? And yet when we put our hands to it, we can do it. And so thank you, Sandra, for always asking me to do home renovations, because I really can do it. It just takes me longer than a handyman. But what about us and the calling of God? Some of it's specific to us individually, that we can't look at our calling and say that everybody else is called to it. And so that's part of learning our calling. But there is also, probably more important first, a sense of our calling that we all have, regardless of how we're different in our talents, regardless of how we're different in our situations. There's a calling that we all have and enjoy as followers of Christ. And it is simply to be a follower of Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus. We're all called to be disciples. And the word disciple is just a fancy religious word for student. We're all called to be students of Jesus, to learn from the master. And what is a master but a master student? Do we know our calling? Do we live into our calling as master students? Now, there's unique callings that each of us have that we can grow into and whatnot, but have we first, and are we continuing to grow as master students, as disciples of Jesus, understanding how his teaching impacts our lives, understanding how his teaching affects how we live, and therefore doesn't just affect us, but it affects everybody we're in relationship with. As we put into place the teaching of Jesus in our lives, that's good news for everyone around us. We are called to be disciples. Do we have a sense of that calling, and are we growing into that calling, continuing to be students? If Jesus went to the temple, if that was the right place for him to go, to have a sense of that calling, well, we could say, yeah, there's a sense that coming to the church is the right place, yes, but actually much more important than that and much deeper, going to Jesus, coming to Jesus, that's the place to be. And I hope that as a church family, we help people come to Jesus, that we help people walk with Jesus in faith, hope, and love. Are you with who you need to be, or whom you need to be with, to grow and to be a master student of Jesus? So that's the first thing. Jesus was in the right place in his journey of growth, in being a master student, in learning and deepening his sense of calling. Do we have that sense of calling? Are we growing in that and learning? So that's the first thing, being in the right place. Here's the second thing, and by the way, it's only a two-point sermon today. Jesus, actually it used to be three points, but I combined the 2 points into one. Jesus asked great questions. That was going to be point two, and then third point was going to be, and he also gave great answers. But I combined that into one. So Jesus asked great questions, but then he also gave great answers. He was involved, in other words, in conversation, learning and growing, being able to hear and listen, and being able to ask questions, curiosity about it, and going deeper into it, because somebody could tell you something, you could just walk away, okay, uh-huh. But he didn't do that. He's asking questions, which somebody tells you something, and like, wait a minute, let's take that deeper, let's take that to another level, ask another question, take it deeper. So he was asking questions taking it deeper, but then also responding with his own answers and showing his own understanding, and therefore, of course, being able to engage his teachers, who could then further lead him on deeper, having grasped where he's at in his understanding, and being amazed and astonished that here's this young boy at age 12 that knows this stuff. And so he's engaged in this conversation. And here's where some theology may come into play, and we might wonder about this. Verses 46 and 47, let's just read it again. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So he's both asking questions and giving answers, and everybody's amazed at his questions and his answers, at his conversation. And we can question theologically here, is it because Jesus is the Son of God here and so he knows everything already? And is he sitting there as this somewhat precocious kid testing the teachers? Is that the vision? Is that how we're to read this passage? See, anytime you read scripture, there's always a little bit of interpretation goes on at the time. How are you to interpret this? Are we to interpret this as Jesus being this precocious little kid showing how much he knows because he's the Son of God and he knows everything? Is that it? Or is there a sense of his humanity here that he doesn't know everything and he's growing and learning? Personally, I would take the latter. There is an emphasis in this passage both on his divinity. His understanding is astonishing. There's something special about him. But there's also an emphasis, as there is throughout the New Testament, not just on the divinity of Jesus, but also on the humanity of Jesus. And so we have in verse 40, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And at the end of the passage, and Jesus increased in wisdom. I like how the New American Standard Bible puts it in verse 40. It says, and the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. In other words, there's something that he grew into that, yes, he's the Son of God, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus knew everything about everything. But that he grew in his knowledge, especially as a young child and as a teenager growing into it. And then verse 52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And so there's a sense here of, yes, he's divine, but he's also fully human. Which also means there was the potential for learning and growth. He would ask good questions. Do we ask good questions in our learning and growth? There's never a dumb question. And don't be ever afraid to come to me with any question you might have on anything or also to one another. Bouncing things off each other and learning from one another. And it's one of the things I love about Wednesday morning in our Bible study. There's a lot of back and forth between all of us. And there's never a dumb question. But there are questions that show great wisdom and that lead us to greater wisdom. Let me give you an example. Here's a question, maybe you've never thought about it, but many of you have, and it's one that I have heard time and time again. Or should it be whom? There's another question. Whom did Cain marry? You know, Abel and Cain, and Cain killed Abel, and then Cain goes off and he gets married. Well, if it's just Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, who did Cain go off and marry? Where did all these people suddenly come from? There's a question I've often been asked. It's not a dumb question. It's a good question, but it's not the best question. There are better questions to ask, one of which is, what is the nature of the Bible? What is the nature of the Word of God? What is God's vision for the Bible and what it's going to do? What does God want the Bible to do? You see, sometimes we ask a question like, who did Cain marry? We're coming at that from our own vision of what the Bible is. There's a better question. What is the Bible? What is the nature of it? What's God's vision for it? If you get into that question, the question about who did Cain marry, it disappears. It's a moot point. It doesn't matter. You see, there are questions, and there are questions that lead us to greater wisdom. And there are certain people who would leave Christianity, and they would cite things like, who did Cain marry, as their reason for leaving. It's not a dumb question, but to leave because of that, that's the question. To me, that would be kind of dumb. If that's why you're leaving Christianity, then you're asking the wrong questions. You see, we don't just learn with wisdom, we don't just hear with wisdom, we also want to ask questions that are wise, that lead us to deeper wisdom. We want to learn from wise teachers, but we also want to ask wise questions of those wise teachers so that you're not just spinning your wheels, getting nowhere. Because if you're asking not the wisest questions in the world of not the wisest people in the world, and we have so much of that going on the internet, don't we? Of a lot of shared ignorance on the internet. A lot of people asking not the best questions of not the best people to answer them. And yet, they're satisfied with the answers or the lack of answers. We want to be a people who can ask wise questions of wise people. Are we asking good questions? Jesus was one who asked questions. Are we asking good ones? You see, conversation, questions and answers and being involved in conversation, it helps us to make adjustments along the way, to grow. Do we have a teachable spirit that as we ask questions, we'll listen to the answers? Do we have a teachable spirit? Jesus here, evidently, he's God. God the Son, but he's also Jesus the human being who is learning with a very teachable spirit. So like Jesus, we want to be in conversation the rest of our lives, learning and growing as disciples of Jesus, and we want to be in the right place with Jesus. There's the best person to ask our questions of. So this sermon today, it's actually doing two things. It is the final sermon in the Christmas series on Christmas in Luke, which took us through Luke chapters 1 and 2. Congratulations, you just made it through two chapters of the Bible there, looking at the birth of Jesus, looking at what happened before the birth of Jesus, but also looking at what happened after. So this is next week we get into Jesus the adult. This is everything in Luke on Jesus as an infant and as a child. So it's both a conclusion to the Christmas sermon series, but also we're past Christmas now, so guess what? It's also the beginning of the next sermon series, which will be on, guess what? Da-da-da-da, the teaching of Jesus. Of course. If only there was somebody who would stand up with some great, amazing, astonishing teaching that all the world would say, yes, that's it. Yes, that man already stood up. It was Jesus. So let's hunker down and listen. So we're going to take the next, up until Easter actually, to focus in on the teaching of Jesus and to make that easy for myself, specifically on the Sermon on the Mount. Will make it easier for me to get into it, to help you get into it. All right, so we're going to look at the teaching of Jesus. But it's important that as we focus in on that, as we look forward to the teaching of Jesus, that we don't just think of Jesus as being a great teacher. Yeah, it definitely was that. But far more than that. God the Son. He's also our Redeemer. He's the Savior of the world. He is our Savior, our Lord and Savior. So don't just think of him as being a great teacher. He's not just a self-help guru. Although I've heard of people who have started off with Jesus that way, looking for his wisdom and ended up, boy, there's something far more amazing about this Jesus. So some people start out just looking at his teaching, but he is far more than that. And so our growing in him and in his teaching is actually part and parcel of our salvation, and sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think of salvation as merely being, oh good, when I'm dead, I'll go to heaven. Our salvation is much bigger than that. That yes, that's part of it, for sure. And it's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ that that's going to happen. Because of the forgiveness of our sin that enables us enables us to be in God's presence for eternity. So that's a huge part of what salvation is, yes. But salvation also is growing as human beings and being rescued from our dumb ideas. The word salvation, it means rescue. It means to be the word, the Greek word for salvation, it's got the idea of health in it, of being healthy again. And you hear of people being saved, sometimes they just use that meaning being healed, of becoming healthy again. And so in one aspect, our salvation is also about our being healed of our stupidity. Can I put it that way? That's politically incorrect to put it that way today, I guess, but really, to get us off our own ideas that are bad, and to get us onto, yeah, this Jesus, his teaching, wisdom, this is the way to live. This is it. That's part of our salvation too. To help us walk with Jesus, not just look forward to Jesus at the end, but to help us walk with Jesus now in faith, hope, and love. That too is part and parcel of our salvation. And it would be great, wouldn't it, if the leaders of the world would know that salvation. Wouldn't it be great if they all knew that? Well, we can pray about that. But beyond prayer, we don't have much control over that. But ourselves, we do have control over. That we can make the decision, just as Jesus made that decision to learn, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, just as Jesus focused himself on growth, being in the right place, sense of calling. We too. Well, what teacher are we going to sit at the feet of? Jesus himself. Let us devote our sermon series to be followers of Jesus, being master students. What is a master but a master student? Are we committed to learning from Jesus so that we can be wise? But let us learn with wisdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We've been able to think about his birth in recent days with Christmas. We've been looking through the book of Luke, looking at before the time that Jesus was born, but also now looking at his childhood. And we thank you, Lord, for this passage of scripture that we have before us today to consider that Jesus grew in his understanding and in wisdom, that Jesus wanted to learn, that he knew he was in the right place, knew his calling, that he indeed was God the Son of God, and that he was called to do what only he could do. Lord, we thank you that he has fulfilled his calling and all that means for us in our salvation and our reconciliation to you. But we thank you, Lord, for your calling upon us to be disciples of Christ, to be students of Jesus. And so, Lord, teach us as we open up ourselves to the teaching of Jesus. Lord, open up our hearts and minds. Grant us teachable spirits that we may grow in Christ. Lord, may we be walking with him in faith, hope, and love. So, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be upon us in the weeks to come and in our journey of learning from Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.